I am re-recording this sermon on Monday morning because on Sunday we had all-together worship and we had an interpreter to help translate into Mandarin. So this is an all-English version of our sermon. You give them something to eat, Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Jesus liked to eat. The disciples of John the Baptist noticed this enough to ask why Jesus didn't fast. Jesus' enemies noticed this enough to ask the disciples why Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. They called him a glutton and a drunk. Jesus' parables often included wheat, fruit trees, banquets, and vineyards. One scholar's written, if Jesus had not traveled by foot so far and so often, it's quite possible that he had been a little chunkier than he appears in most stained glass windows. I would argue that Jesus probably would have been a Southern Baptist because he really would enjoy a good potluck meal. It's been said that some of the best stuff in ministry happens over meals, and I'd agree with that. Happy and painful news is shared, creative ideas are hatched, relationships are formed, people laugh and have fun together. And it's hard to concentrate when there's rumblings in our tummies. Jesus knew this well. That's one reason why Jesus in our scripture lesson for this morning tells his disciples, you give them something to eat. Of course, Jesus is referring to a crowd of thousands of people. And so from the disciples' point of view, Jesus is asking them to do the impossible. Imagine being in a sold-out basketball arena with no concession stands and being asked to feed all those folks. That's the kind of situation we're talking about. It sounds scary or maybe even exciting. Depends on how you look at it. The feeding of the 5,000, which is actually more like 15,000 since they only counted the men, is one of the very few stories about Jesus which is recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That means that this was a really big deal. It was something that a lot of people talked about for a long time. It was major news. No one ever forgot it. And it makes a huge theological statement about who Jesus is, what he thinks about our needs, and how he can do a lot with little. So let's dive in. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start with verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But the crowds heard it. They followed him on foot from the towns. Here we see Jesus seeking rest. We know from the other Gospels that record this story that Jesus was looking to take a break. He wanted to go somewhere quiet and get some rest, to recharge his physical batteries. People had been following Jesus and the disciples incessantly and constantly making demands, wanting healings, which were time-consuming and draining. Not only that, but in the passage before this one, Jesus had just learned that his good friend John the Baptist had been beheaded for proclaiming the gospel. And although Jesus was weary, grieving, and in need of rest, the people kept coming, and he was unable to get any rest. It is here that we get the remarkable glimpse of Jesus' character. If it had been you or me, weary and in need of rest, we would have sent the people away. Let's look and see what Jesus does. Verse 14 through 16. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Here we see that Jesus displays the compassion of the Father. I imagine if it were me in that boat, I would have just gotten back in the boat and found another spot. But not Jesus. The Messiah has unmatched compassion for people. Rather than be alone and tend to his own hurt, Jesus addressed the hurt of the people. He had compassion on them and he healed their sick. There is no compassion like the compassion of Jesus the Messiah. If you have hurt, he is healing. If you have sorrow, he is satisfaction. If you have challenges, he is compassion. We see Jesus' compassion further demonstrated for the crowds, beyond his healing of their sick. Not only does he meet their long-term problems, but he meets their short-term problem, the problem of being hungry. We have here this account of the disciples wanting to send the crowds away. Now, they didn't want to turn them away because they were being mean. They wanted to turn them away because they knew that they were probably hungry and they needed to eat. However, Jesus, because of his great compassion for the crowds, didn't want to send the crowds away. He wanted them to have the best of both worlds, staying with him and having something to eat. We'll see more of this later in the passage, but Jesus is not limited in the way that he can bless you. He can bless you with healing and provision. He can bless you beyond your wildest imagination. His compassion is deep and wide. His resume of compassion qualifies him for any task. The Messiah is full of compassion. Well, how in the world were they going to feed these crowds? They didn't have a Domino's pizza anywhere near the Sea of Galilee. Let's see what Jesus does. Verse 17 through 19. They said to him, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. Here we see we should rely on Jesus' resources. Charlie Steinmetz was small in structure. He was not blessed with good looks, and to add to his woes, he was deformed and disabled. But he had one advantage over other people. He was clever. He had one of the greatest minds in the field of electricity that the world had ever known. Steinmetz built great generators that powered Michigan's factory of Henry Ford, who made owning a car practical and affordable. One day, one of those generators broke down and Ford's car factory came to a halt. They brought in a variety of engineers, mechanics, and helpers, but none of them could get the generators going again, and they were losing money. So Henry Ford called Charlie Steinmetz. The genius came, puttered around for a few hours, and then threw a switch. And the factory came back to life once again. A few days passed by, and Henry Ford received a bill from Steinmetz for $10,000. Although Ford was a very rich man, he thought the bill was very pricey for just a few hours' work. He returned the bill with a note. "Charlie, isn't this bill a little high for a few hours of tinkering around with those motors?" Steinmetz returned the bill to Ford. This time it read, "For tinkering around with the motors, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Total, $10,000. Henry Ford paid the bill. Like that Henry Ford, the disciples were about to discover that Jesus alone has the insight, power, and desire to turn an insurmountable problem into a golden opportunity. We may not have the resources to meet the needs of those around us, but Jesus does. He is the bread of life and the living water. I like that little expression, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. To everyone gathered, there would only have been 5 loaves and 2 fish. But in the hands of Jesus, something miraculous happens. Place a scalpel in my hands, and it's merely a sharp object that could cause damage. But when you place that same scalpel in the hands of a surgeon, it turns into an object that can bring life. Place a golf club in my hands, and it's just merely a golf club. But when you place the same golf club in the hands of Tiger Woods, it allows him to become one of the best sportsmen in the world. A paintbrush in my hands might result in a pretty good picture, only if it's paint by numbers. But when a paintbrush is placed in the hands of Van Gogh, it turns into a priceless work of art. Question: why is the same instrument and the same tools can bring about such differing degrees of results? Well, the answer is this. It simply depends on the person who's holding the tool. It's how they're used. Jesus will take the ordinary to do something extraordinary. But note how he does it. There's no razzmatazz. It is simple, logical, and efficient. The people sat down, maybe so everybody could see what was happening. The other Gospels tell us in groups of 50. Jesus prays by giving thanks to God the Father. He then breaks the bread and gives it to the disciples. To everyone's amazement, he keeps producing more and more fish and bread, right in front of their very eyes. And look, did he just barely meet their needs? Look at verse 20 through 21. And they all ate, and they were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate it were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Here we see Jesus satisfies our needs. Jesus didn't give the crowd some sort of airline-type snack. You know, you've been there. You go on the airline, you've been traveling all day, you're hungry. What do they bring you out? A little half bag of pretzels. And you feel just as hungry after as you finished as when you started. Verse 20 tells us that there was more than enough food for everyone. And there was 12 baskets of full of food left over, one for each disciple. A visual reminder that Jesus is far bigger than any problem we might face. John 6:35 says this, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Philippians 4:19 says, And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But before we leave this passage, I want you to return to verse 17. Look at what it says. They said to him, We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. They didn't have a lot, but Jesus met the needs of that crowd through what the disciples already had. Jesus meets needs through us. I want to reflect on the profound truth that even the smallest offerings, when placed in God's capable hands, can accomplish great and miraculous things. In our text, Jesus demonstrated the power of faith and trust, turning a humble boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish into a feast that satisfied thousands. This passage reminds us that our limited resources, when surrendered to God, become the vessels of his divine provision and blessing. It challenges us to see beyond our perceived inadequacies and to recognize that God's strength can transform our littleness into something extraordinary. God longs to use the resources we do have to make a world and the difference in the world around us. If we hold on to them, they're not going to meet anybody's needs. But if we turn them over to God, he can use them in a great way. What is your 5 loaves and 2 fish? What do you have in your lunch pail that you can give to the Father? It may not seem like a lot to you, but God longs to use it. Is it your ability to cook? Your love for kids? Is it your compassion for the homebound? Is it your ability to be handy around the house? What passions and skills that might seem small to you that God can use to change people's lives? Maybe you think your small tithe makes no difference in the kingdom of God as you faithfully give each week. God is about the task of multiplying the impact of a small offering given in faithfulness. When we faithfully give over what we have in our hands, God uses that seemingly insignificant act to make a difference in his kingdom. What do you have in your hands? So for review, the compassion we seek in Jesus is the compassion of God the Father extended to us. Rely on God's resources to meet your needs. Know that only Jesus can really satisfy all your needs. And let God use the things that he's already given you to change the world around you. Thank you.